John 3, verses 14 through 21. Hear God's holy word. No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe in, it's necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. And God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without even knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work that it is. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. One of the saddest things for me is that one of the big obstacles people feel about coming to church or being part of a church family is that they feel they will be judged. They're afraid that people are going to see them as less than perfect and somehow they won't measure up and like they don't belong. And what's so sad is that actually the opposite is true. There's sort of a reason that we start each worship service with our confession. Because it's a chance for all of us to acknowledge the fact that that's right, none of us are perfect. And all of us to know that we can let go of that and that it's okay to come into the light. Think about this for a minute. How funny is it that when we are little kids, so often, we're afraid of the dark? Have you ever met a child who was afraid of the light? No, they're afraid of the dark. And then what happens as we get older, strangely, we become afraid of the light and seek the dark as a place to hide. A place to seek refuge, being afraid to be known, that if we're really known, we'll be rejected, we'll be condemned. There's a story that was shared. John Powell, he wrote a book a while back called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? It sold many, many copies. It's still around now, but in this book, he had a very simple idea. The idea that people hide who they really are from others because of a very basic fear. And he describes this fear that he had in an actual conversation with someone. He had said to this person, I'm writing this book to be called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And the other person said, you want an answer to your question? And Powell said, well, that's the purpose of the book, to answer the question. And the other said, but do you want to hear my answer? And Powell said, sure, of course I do. And the other person said, I'm afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am. And that's all I got. That's all I got. Now, this may not be something that we think about a lot or be aware of, but I have a hunch that a lot of us are afraid to share who we really are with others because we're afraid that they're not going to like who we are. And if they don't, that's all we got. What then? So one of our first challenges as human beings is dealing with those fears. Fears of not being able to be authentic and be real and be loved. Fears that our imperfections will somehow be exposed and that we'll be rejected and condemned because of them. Fears that somehow we just don't matter in this world. And then it's so easy for us to begin comparing ourselves with other people who are putting up these selves that are not authentic, but they're pretty cool, right? We see this with people who gain public attention, people who are in the news, many of our leaders, unfortunately. People who are in public tend to be among the least authentic of all, which makes it all the sillier when we feel a little jealous of people who are famous. But here we are as human beings struggling when we have a God who wants the very best for us. And how often do we really think about the fact that God sent his Son not to be pointing fingers at us, not to be showing all the ways that we're messing up, but to tell us how much we're loved and also to give us ways to live a good life, a happy life, a joyful life, a fulfilling life, a meaningful life, a life not lived in the dark, in shame, but a life lived in the light. Just being that unique person that God created each of us to be. So what's getting in the way? What's getting in the way? During this Lenten season, that's a question that each of us need to be asking ourselves. Are we accepting God's love? Are we comfortable with that? Do we believe it? Do we really believe that we're loved and worthy of that love? Do we get hung up on all the ways that we're less than perfect? Are we stumbling over those things that might seem important to the world, but are not important to God? Are we ourselves finger pointers, using judgment and condemnation of others to make ourselves feel better about ourselves? These are important words. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. How amazing is that? Any of us who've been parents know how much we love our children. And the idea of sacrificing any of our children for anything would be the most painful thing in the world. So for God to do that on our behalf, to show his love. And God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's why his teachings are so important. They're not about, you know, being do-gooders. They're not about crazy things that are unattainable. They're about practical ways of living our lives so that we can really make a difference. So that we can offset there's so much evil in this world. And you may not think the little things that you do matter, but they do. every kindness to other people, every smile that you share, every encouraging word that you share, every little thing that you do showing love is helping to make the world better in spite of all the evil we hear about. And finally, God sent light. He sent light. He wants to get us out of those dark places. He wants to lift us up. He wants us to be in a world of light, not hiding in the dark corners, not dwelling in shame and pain. I want to close with one other story. Dr. Ken Ramsey tells a story about this friend that he had named Joel. And he met Joel while they were both attending Emory University in Atlanta. They were attending seminary there and studying. And they were working towards their Master of Divinity degrees and in the same ministry assessment group. And this is where they offered each other critiques and comments. And he describes Joel as being a really big guy. He'd done his undergraduate work at Dartmouth. He'd played football. And they had a lot of mutual athletic interests and sort of a common bond in their friendship, as they grew from there. And they'd go jogging, and they'd hang out together, and there was one day when they were running around this small lake, and they saw, there was a little girl that was there fishing with her dad. And she was imitating every single move that her dad did in the process. So if he cast the line, she'd cast the line. If he fixed his hat, well then she'd fix her hat. And every little thing. If he sat down, she'd sit down. Every little thing she was imitating as closely as possible. And Joel, seeing it, he was smiling. He says, "You know, just something about a child imitating her father that makes my heart smile." They went back to their ministry assessment group, and there was a guy in that group who was very critical, and somehow the chemistry between him and Joel was pretty bad. And so this guy was continually attacking Joel and just nasty, nasty, nasty. And this one session in particular, he was particularly cruel. There was nothing that Joel could say or do that measured up to this other guy. And it was really, really ugly. So when they reached this sort of a boiling point, there were some harsh words exchanged and they left the group, and Joel said, "That guy has pushed me too far. He makes me want to run over him like I used to do in the football field." I mean, he was really super angry, as we can understand. And keep in mind, Joel was a big guy, so that was no light comment there. In fact, Ken says the veins in his neck were actually bulging at that point. He was just, it took every bit of self-control that he had not to just go after that guy. Well, there was a few days that passed, and it was time for another one of the group meetings, and everybody in the group was kind of wondering how things would go and how these two guys would react when they got into a meeting. And before their meeting, Joel and Ken were once again doing their run, their jog around the lake, and so they were talking a little about it, and Ken asked Joel, "So have you decided how you're going to deal with that guy?" "Yeah, I have," Joel replied. And Ken waited to hear Joel continue. And Joel said, "I've decided to forgive him." Wow. Forgive him. And Ken said, "Say that again?" "I've decided to forgive him." And Ken, he smiled. And Joel said, "Well, what are you smiling at?" And Ken says, "There's just something about a child imitating his father that makes my heart smile." My friends, God sent Jesus to light up our world, to make us smile and make him smile. God sent Jesus to show us what love is really all about. God sent Jesus to show us a better way to live our lives. God sent Jesus to
turn the lights on, what will our answer be? We all have a choice. Let us pray. Almighty God, your love is so great, it's hard to even take it in. Your love is so expansive. Help us to say yes to it. Help us to choose the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.